PI and they change a lot. Especially I come to the new building. I still confusing after 1 week stay here. Okay, so I also like to apology for the talk, because until I come here last Friday, I learned that I should give a talk today. So I don't have time to prepare transparency, so I give a blackboard talk about some recent work I did with my friend in Taiwan and my postdoc student.
But I'm the one who's supposed to apologize because I forgot to tell you that you were going to do the talk.
Okay, so I think it's forget about apologies. We're just talking something like the result. And so because it's quite informal, so you can stop me at any moment to ask to clarify my explanations. And the talk I will talk about is like about the onshore recursion relation, how it apply to string tree-level amplitude. And in this direction, there's not many reference. In fact, just countable. So this five main paper list start from the 2000 and initiated this direction. Okay, so I guess most of you guys are quite familiar with the recursion relation already. And so basically, for the onshore recursion relations, we take a pair of the PI, PJ to do deformations. So we keep this on shell, so it's become PI plus ZQ, PJ minus ZQ. And Q square equals Q dot PI dot Q dot PJ equals zero. This is the condition for on shells. And under these conditions, we discuss the amplitude becomes the holomorphic, in fact, rational function of the complex number. And we discuss this kind of things. And so from this, we derive the onshore recursion relations. And this onshore recursion relations write as this naively, A left, the R, H. So here, this is the factorization property, left sub amplitude times right one. And you have some sum over all like the poles, which have this dependent of Z, and also they have sum of the helicity. So to derive this formula, we have based on three assumptions. In fact, three, like the property of the amplitude. First one is like, this is like the only singularity is the pole-like. In fact, the single pole-like singularity. This is easily seen from the Feynman propagators. So that is the very easy to see. Second one is factorization property. Basically claim that when this go to on shell, and the Feynman diagram just split into left and right on shell sub amplitude. And the third one is not familiar for the standard textbook. It's when they go to infinity, we require. So the third condition is basically to get rid of boundary contributions. And now we know, for some example, even the boundary contribution is not zero, means this property does not satisfy. We're still able to write down generalized recursion relation to calculate the amplitude. But today, we will still choose this property to satisfy, because this one will be much easier to deal. OK, so this three property is quite familiar for the field theory scattered amplitude at three levels. And we know in string theory, In fact, if you consider these three properties, you found in string theory for tree level amplitude that satisfy all three properties. Basically, the work I mentioned, like the field reference, first two or three, these two properties is quite obviously in string scattered amplitude. The last one, in fact, this is the work I mentioned, the first few works, it just basically try to prove this factor. So it means at least at some kinematic regime, you can show when z go to infinity, that indeed this az go to zero. So you can write down the recursion relation like this one. So basically, with this their work, this formula was established for string amplitude. But for string amplitude, there has some like the technical difficulty compared to the field theory. So what are those technical difficulty? So first is that for string, the state with the sum here, h, will not just for the finite number of particles. So we will have infinite number of middle particles. You need to sum up. And the second relate to this one is for each level, the what is the physical states is hard so this is too technical difficult related to string theories. We know exists infinite number of physical states, and for each physical state it's hard to write down what's the expression. What's mean hard to write down the to describe this? This means, for example, when we describe the photons or gluons, you need describe his like the prescribe what momentum is. And you also need to describe what his suppression vector is. And we know for the four dimension we have the four bases, four independent like the vectors, but we only transverse direction is physicals and time-like and longitude. For these two directions, this polarization is unphysical. So for the gluon onshell, we have only two degree of physical degree freedoms. And for the level one or the massless level, we can use like we are sure algebra to determine what is allowed physical transverse like the polarization vector. But when you go to higher mass levels and with more and more index of mu, it's hard to describe, in fact, give a general description about what kind of polarization vector describe a physical states. And maybe there's some result, but I don't know. So this is too difficult related to this one. Because this, in general, it's hard to imagine how we can write down this kind of the onshore amplitude with very high mass levels, middle states. Okay, so this is difficult, although we can write down naively this kind of recursion relation, but not many work down this direction exactly because of this. At least it's my understanding. Okay, so now I explain how we can get surrounded of this kind too difficult. So this is kind of the background introductions. Is that clear? And any question so far?
in the papers that you mentioned, it was established that such formula exists, but
yeah.
it was not useful. That's a good summary?
Yes. It, one word can say that.
Okay.
We have this formula, but we don't know how to calculate in the practice.
Because, for example, even a three-body amplitude for excited states,
yeah.
you don't know what it is, right?
Even four tachyons get amplitude calculated by this way, have not carried out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Are you going to tell us how to see this kinematic region where the amplitude goes to zero?
I will not discuss this because the Boyle's paper and the Brian Weck's paper, I mentioned this too.
Do people always see this?
This three reference discuss this carefully in the paper.
But do people always assume that the particles you're starting out with are some particular type, or can they be anything as well?
What means particular type?
Are they always tachyons?
No. This is general. So this three paper discussing generals. So general, like the string states. Okay, so let's see. What's the key to we get from the general quantum field theory to this kind of things? Okay, so let's we see some hint. So the hint is that in recursion relations, we said A equals A left, A right, but here we have a propagator. It's just P squared. And this propagator, in fact, is scalar-like. And we know from Feynman diagram, if it's gluons in the Feynman gauge, the propagator should be this kind of like. So how this scalar-like propagator can describe this kind of like the Feynman propagators? So this is the first hint. In fact, if we understand this, we'll get a better idea. Okay, so to see that these two in fact consist to each other, we write this on-shell left part amplitude as a mu. P is a propagator of this. P is on-shell amplitude of the middle propagators. So we write this. Write on-shell amplitude as nu. This p on minus p is not very, doesn't matter. So let's have the h star. So when you put this back, this become and remember, we have a sum of a helicity. So at this step, because this helicity only two physical degree, we know it's not exact like this one. But we can expand in the sum plus longitude a time-like. So when the expansion, we know from the word identity. So if this is longitude or time-like, then the sum, the product is still zero because of the word identity. So use this word identity, we can expand the sum from 2 degree of freedom to totally complete the four degree of freedom, somehow like this one. So by this way, we know here, the sum does not matter because it still just depends on mu. But here, now becomes sum of the 4 degree of freedom plus minus longitude. And this sum, use a complete relation, In future, we know it's just g mu mu. So this is somehow like the onshell, we have scalar-like propagator, but in fact, for the gluon, we do get this family-like propagator by the sum. Okay, now some remark of this things like, and when we have this recursion relation, most time we say this onshell recursion relation. So it somehow naively think this kind of method can only be used to calculate onshell property. But with this explanation, we can see we can use this method to calculate offshore property too. For example, for the current G mu with the propagator, one n on shell, but one n plus one is off shell. This has a Bernard-Gill recursion relations of offshore recursion relation for this current. But to use this understanding, we in fact can use a similar recursion relation to calculate offshore current. The only difference is that the sum here is not constrained to the just plus minus. We must sum all for helicity, four different polarization vector. In this case, because in this case the word identity cannot apply, so the time-like and longitude-like does not give zero contractions. So this is like a work I did with my student. And now this, in fact, is the key to solve this technical difficulty, sum of this infinite number of the middle states. And
so can you, what is this one of one?
The current. I mean, you have the just the n plus one particles, but the n is onshore, one is offshore.
Oh, one is offshore.
Yeah, so it's offshore current. The initial MHC amplitude is proved by the Barrett and Gill using kind of offshore current calculations. And their offshore recursion relations just use the Feynman diagram. You have three vertex plus four vertex, and just use Feynman diagram translate to this offshore recursion relations. And but this current, now you can calculate using this onshore idea. The only difference is you need to sum up all four, like the Poisson vector for the middle states. Okay, I guess this basic idea, in fact, is here already. I guess expert like Freddy already pretty much will figure out what's going on. Now I will discuss one example. And for simplicity, I will concentrate to the bosonic open string theory with four tachyons. And the general idea will be same. So for this kind of the three-level amplitude, we have the general expressions. And the familiar one is this one. When we write down this expression, we have put the location of the first particle is zero, third particle at location one, and the fourth particle at location infinity. So this is familiar expressions. Now we try to expand this into that polynomial-like form. So what we need is use the polynomial expansion. Here, omega can be arbitrary complex number. So in this case, a equals 0 times infinity. And this is just a simple means omega minus 1, omega minus a plus 1, 2, to a. So a is still integer. How use this formula, expanding this expression, and now you have just the polynomial of z. Z too, you can do integrations. And the integration is easy to do. The final answer is this one. Here, this is K1 plus K2. So this is a 1-2 channel, you see clearly in this expansion. I mean, for string theory, we know it have duality. So although this have only 1-2 channel, obviously, but because duality, when we sum infinity, the 1-4 channel will hiding inside. So this is like the 1-2 channel, obviously. And this 2 here is because we have set the alpha prime equals half. So this just for the normalization.
Where does the expression in what come from?
Expanding this one. So become the Z2 polynomials by the infinite number of them. And I do integrations, you get immediately like this one.
Right, but where does that equation come from?
Oh, this equation is calculated long time before. This called the Kobayashi-Nielsen formula, is that right?
That's
a Veneziano. Veneziano-Nielsen formula, I think for the...
But this for all particles.
Yeah.
And what are the k's?
Pardon?
The k's.
K's momentum.
Okay,
so this just I rewrite this integration form as the infinite sum of the states. Now we do the deformations. And we take the k1 plus z cube, k4 minus z cube. So with this deformation, we see we have the pole art. And so from here, you have the pole at here, and the residue at here, in fact, is given by sum of all physical states, which is located at this one. So basically, what we try to show is how we calculate this one. To show that the recursion relation is how to carry out the sum of the left-hand side produce the null result at the right-hand side. So this is our aim to calculate. Pardon? What is?
Do you need a propagator there or not?
Propagate here, so I take care already. I just need a residue at this, okay, this location.
Oh.
Now, we can state what we should do from our experience in the gate theory. Okay, it's dark here. Okay, so I just... Okay, sometimes it's a mechanical problem. So here, this is the difficulty I mentioned before. Although at given level, the number of physical, the state is not infinity. But the potential vector is difficult to write down for general mass levels. But we know that from like the field theory, we can extending H into h equals plus minus time longitude.
Sorry, where did the sum over a go?
Here's no a, because different a gives different mass level. So here a is fixed. I mean infinite degree of the freedom dividing different mass levels. And here a is fixed. A is mass. So the a is fixed.
Yes,
what's the mass level here?
So maybe you can call on the left hand side, you can call
yeah.
it PAH. P, the momentum, you can give an index A.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, if you want. So that
that's
the
right.
left hand side also depends on A.
Rather, yeah.
Well,
here.
Because it's a momentum.
Yeah. Okay, so
from
here.
The mass, from the mass of the, you know where it's stayed.
So here, the key idea is like here, the physical sum. Physical state at given mass level A, I will extend into the sum of the Fox space at mass level A. So when I do the extension, I must guarantee this extension does not change the right hand, left hand side. And this is guaranteed by no-Gauss theory. And when we learn the, take the class of the string theory, and the teacher always spend some time discuss this theory, because this theory guarantee that is consistent theory, and the negative mode will decouple from the physical contributions. So this is exactly like word identity. So you have a mu there, you times some mu, if this longitude time like this zero. But here, also similarly, if you have something, it's called the unphysical spiral, you also have zero. So this expanding extension is guaranteed. So having this sum extend to the whole Fox space, now we can choose different bases. So like because it's a whole Fox space, you can choose like a polarization like the coordinates, or you can choose just orthogonal Descartes coordinates. So you have a freedom to choose what kind of complete basis you can you as a tool to calculate the sum. So the good basis now is obviously the oscillation basis. So in this case, the polarization vector is much easier to write down for oscillation basis. So in this case, we choose oscillation. So this is defined by Yeah.
Will you know the analog of A mu if the polarization is unphysical?
I thought. Do you know the analog of A mu? Now it's not A mu, right? It's A with
yeah.
A in this.
This
do you know the analog of it?
Yeah, this is what I will tell you how to calculate. Use this
uh-huh.
oscillation based calculus at A mu.
Okay. Even if it's unphysical.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in fact, it's just like the weak contraction. This is what we did for quantum field theory. So at this steps, pretty much the concept has been introduced already. The what's left is just some calculation to check this. Okay. So this is the oscillation basis. And for this basis, the insertion of the sum will become. So here's sum here. Physical states on left hand side insert become this kind of insertion. Like Fred said, I probably want PA is much more transparency and times 2. Here, I will give a few examples, explain what is tensor struct here. I should insert it. So this is what we insert in the middle. So what is tensor struct here? Tensor struct here is for level zero, this is just tachyon. So tensor structure here does not have an just a scalar. For level one, we have the vector. Now here the only choice is take the n mu one equal one and other zero. So in this case, it's tensor structure. It's just like quantum field theory. It's Jimmy mu. And for n equal 2, we have several structure. For example, for basis, it's just one level 2 oscillates. We have this tensor structure. For mu is not equals nu. So the tensor structure become as what mu 1, mu 2, the correspondent other side, I denote by nu 1, nu 2. So it's become g mu 1, nu 1, g mu 2, nu 2. And if we have here, it's alpha minus 1, but square. When mu 1 equals mu 2, this just corresponds tensor structure. Okay, so with a few examples, you can see what's the general pattern. When you have this kind of like the oscillation basis, what's corresponding tensor structure you should insert here. This tensor structure, when you sum up mu and nu, you basically make a sum of all Fock space. And also you sum up the physical states. Okay, so this is the general picture, how we use this to calculate this for examples. So I will erase this. Okay, for the four tachyon case, we have this one, this particle one and two here. Here I have used the vertex state mapping the one into this one. So here we insert the vertex V2. You can use the oscillation weight by this vertex as the Z2, W0, and Z0 is the zero mode part. P hat is momentum operators. This provides this needed momentum. And W0 is like the no zero mode, right in the normal order. When I write this, you know what I'm going to do. I insert the operator here and insert this oscillation base here. And for tachyon, it's just the 0k. It just have zero mode. So you insert this, at least for the four particles, this just become three vertex. And this kind of calculation is quite easy to do. And I will not give the detail, but just write down the result. So you put calculate here, this side, and calculate this side. When you do the contraction with the tensor structure, you will get immediately so this mass level n, this different n is this is the level of oscillator. Rn is how many Rn contribute here. Sum up must equal the given mass. Then this is, yeah, a capital N is A. I use this. Yeah, this is the notation. Probably it's not, but this one is much easier to see. Mass K2, K3, Nn. So basically, do this honest calculation on left hand side, right, find this one. So basically, now what we try to see is how this one is equal to the right hand side. And this is, in fact, the Stirling number formula, which we familiar from mathematics. So what's left is nothing to do with any fix further. So we define so obviously we have the J less equals N. And the sum, in fact, is right down as become minus 1 n, j equals 1 until n, n factorial s n j times k2 k3 j. Here, s n j is assigned the first Stirling number with the sign. And this sum, in fact, is kind of generation function for this Stirling number. And its sum is nothing. In fact, from math book, you find this equal to So here, this n is equal a here. So you see, we produce the node results. So this is pretty much what we have, how to use this kind of oscillation basis to do the calculation and make a sum to get the whole answer for 4-point tachyon, for tachyon amplitude. And we have did a 5-point amplitude. Also, you know, 4-point you have only one, like the channel, obviously, from this expansion, S12. But for 5-point, you have two channels. And for each channel, you can do similar things and find exactly match the residue at its mass levels. And the general situation, in fact, is more or less like this way. But now I will use different expression for the amplitude, which may be not familiar for some student. So the general amplitude can write this one. The first particle here.
So just until now, is it true that what you have done is you take your amplitude, or
you have 1, 4, and 2 vertex operators, you insert identity in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
this exactly. So you get the idea. This is exactly just when I extending the physical state into the whole fork space, it becomes just identity at these levels. I insert identity operators.
And then how could it not work?
I mean,
I'm
if you...
I'm a bit confused what's the point of even doing the computation. Shouldn't it work immediately? If all you are doing is putting an identity between?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when we do the recursion relation for the gravity or like the gluons, we only sum two physical states because we don't want some other unrelevant state. That will cause you troubles. But here in string theory, in fact, we found sum for this whole space is simpler than sum on the physical state because you don't know how to write down physical state for general mass level. That's a difficulty. So basically, this is what I said at the beginning, just some small technical issues. Just our work is just clarify this point.
If you try to iterate the recursion on the right-hand side, would you run into trouble?
Integrate.
Iterate, do it again.
I don't think any trouble will cause. I mean, the calculation obviously will become a little bit difficult, but I think conceptually.
My worry being that now you've got one sort of unphysical state. It was fine that your no-ghost theorem guaranteed that would decouple provided all the other guys were physical.
Yeah.
But now you iterate it again, so another one of these guys is going to be unphysical as well. And now I don't think the ghosts will decouple.
Okay, so this is you are right. So basically, if you here become the right-hand side, you become this P in general is not physical. You have this, you can insert now. Indeed, just physical is not enough. You must sum all identity. You need some all unphysical state here, inserted into sum. So in this case, every iterating later part, you cannot just focus on the physical state. You must have the identity, all fork space, inserted. Because in this case, this is not decoupled because this one is not physical anymore. Okay, so this you put V2 is the vertex operator. Then this become L1 minus 1. In fact, this is this level, we are showing algebra generators. And one of their minus one, in fact, is the propagator in string theory. Now we have V3, 101, then Vk minus Vn minus 1 by n. Now, if you take the 1 and n as deformation, then you have the different channels. Exactly. Here. You cut here, and this one is exactly reproduced by sum on each level by Fock space. So you have this here, this here, this here. So for general amplitude, you sum all these different channels, you found indeed reproduced corresponding residue at different cut and different mass levels. And this guarantee, when you put the whole Fock space, is guaranteed to be equal to sum of only physical states, is again guaranteed by the no-go theory. Okay, I guess it's pretty much I want to like the presentation today. Thank you very much.
Different question. In the 4D case, either with, well, certainly with gluons and probably with gravity as well, you can be CFW recurse all the way down to the 3-point amplitudes in many ways.
Yeah.
But really, at least for gluons, you don't really learn much once you recurse down to having 3-point MHV bar and 10-point MHV. You can go further, but
I think we just at this point, we learn quite a lot. I mean, the Freddie's paper with Benicasso, I think, exactly tell you how we just that simple thing you can learn quite a lot physically. Reduce the 3-point amplitude. I mean, like they have few paper discuss how it's initiated by Freddie, like the, how we use the 3-point, the 4-point test to see consistent of the string theory, of the field theory. And I have not done, but you could ask similar things.
Maybe I should phrase this a different way. So, for example, we know that all the amplitudes are proportional to the MHV tree in the gluon case. And then, for example, if you write it in momentum twisted variables, the MHV tree just becomes 1. So then there's certainly no gravity. You don't learn anything by recursing 1. Is there anything that plays the role of the MHV?
No. This is exactly not just one, because when you say one, it's on-shell things. Here I expanded the whole Fock space. Fock space, I'm not sure you can see this just one. Because one leg is math, in fact, it's not physical anymore. I mean, for one, the case, if you consider the physics, then the thing makes the trouble and the interesting part comes from polarization vector. When you Fock space, the polarization vector part sum becomes simple, but the unphysical degree will pop up. So this
maybe another way of asking the same question is there any sector that looks simple, right, like the MHV sector? Is there anything
around the MHV level?
Well, there are the MRV,
yes.
MRV is
what's MRV? Maximum.
Maximally R violating.
Okay. I think there should be. I mean, Steberg has a physical review letter paper about the 6 or 7 gluon amplitude in string theory, something like that. I think probably that paper contains something like the question asked. I think for MHV, like things in the string theory, the expression does simplify a lot.
What happens for closed strings?
I think this technique will cause no any trouble to closed string. Just here have the vertex with left and white, right, and here have two copies.
But isn't it true that for closed strings, it's not enough to expand just in one channel?
For closed string, you also expand the whole Fock space.
No, I'm saying from the point of view, is there a BCF double expression for closed strings in the sense that there you expand it in one channel, right? You have K12 square plus the poles, right?
Yeah.
But I remember.
For the closed string, similar thing, set three conditions.
I think if you start with the original expression for closed string, I don't think you can write it as a sum of physical exchanges in one channel only.
You do.
Channels.
I think you
yes,
could. Yes, you could.
Just one channel?
Not just one channel, but it's still
why
as a rational function.
No, plus, sorry.
You need
you have a time order product and you can sign more. I mean, you will have an integral over the vertex operator.
Yeah, but Yeah, but you sum over positive and negative poles. There you only have positive poles, right?
Positive? Sorry.
What do you mean positive pole?
You have A equals 0 up to infinity, right? If you write a similar expression for closed...
Oh, the A is mass level.
I know, but...
Closed string also mass level.
Now more. I thought that there were like S and T channel poles that you could not expand just in one... If you just expand about physical poles...
And then you have S and T channel, you sum both.
I'm missing
the first one. I mean, here this is only have the S poles, obviously, but the T pole does not show up.
Yes.
Because this is just duality. We know that.
No,
although this, and this, for closed string, I think a similar thing happens. You probably like just for 4-point closed string, tachyon, probably only.
Well, it's not really a concept. I mean, in that formula, yes, but it's not really. It's from the deformation, right? You're only picking poles in the S channel, right? Or in the
I didn't do the deformation.
Z doesn't enter in the T channel, right?
No. Here I start from here. This expression, I do the expansion. I get this one. Here's no end deformation.
Yeah, but that's the answer. You don't want to assume the answer, right? So what you're saying is that if you didn't know the answer, you could derive it. By using the deformation
yeah. That's right. So you can reverse this. I use BCFW.
Right, imagine nobody ever told you anything about those
one
formulas, no integrals whatsoever, nothing.
Just
get it. Just do the deformation, only the S-channel poles.
Yeah, show up. Yeah, that's right.
In
then,
gravity, the S and T-channels recover.
Yeah.
So
then I can sum up.
Yes, that isn't quite true.
So in gravity, you consider two, right? S and T.
Yeah.
For closed string as well, right? For closed string, you will ask for
S and T.
In fact, what happens is that you made a choice as to which vertex operators you fixed.
Yeah.
Technically, it's like positive and negative.
Yeah.
Because.
So all the poles show up in all the channels. It's just that at the end of the day,
all poles always show up with a lot by BCFW recursion relations.
Even the ones that are not.
Here is the.
So
because
they
one pole,
positive
even
integers,
poles that have
positive
integers,
the other
guys
channel in this
on the same side
will not show up by this
show.
Calculation.
They
will not
show
up by this calculation.
Not true.
Oh,
they do show up, but you
so
find
they
only contribute in restricted kinematics.
I thought.
Yeah, but the way
I,
do it,
I don't think
they say. Just summing over the positive one.
Say obviously, clearly. I mean, at this step, only after some you can show us this up.
Okay.
Show up.
Because you're assuming a particular kinematic region, so the sum always converges in that kinematic region. There
yeah,
are no
yeah.
poles coming from the resummation.
But then when you need to sum up, you need to do the proper analytic continuations. This you need. But from this formula, you probably still need the smart guess, like the Venerano guess what's its gamma function. You can see that other poles.
So the existence of a region where the amplitude vanishes at the infinity was also shown to exist for closed string,
for the super string, like the Boyer's paper, and the Brian I've erased already. This is the first three papers of the string theory. The main focus of their paper is prove that vanished property.
So it was proved in which cases?
For all string theory. The Rutgers.
Rutgers. What does he mean which amplitudes, for example?
I mean, he proved for general things. For general endless, amplitudes will be zero.
Even with massive vertices?
Yeah. With the proper kinematic regime. Basically, for string theory, the convergent behavior is exponentiate instead of...
But probably only for amplitudes with massless thermal states.
No, for all. The make the argument the string state can be massless, massive, doesn't matter much. Because the string, right thing, good thing is the exponential decay in some kinematic regime.
So you get the exponential decay suppression where all kinematical invariants are of the same order, no?
The kinematic is you need to choose in some regime, make this property. Because for different levels, the kinematic regime will change a little bit.
Okay.
for the different mass level of external particles. But you do able to find the kinematic regime, maybe not physical, but
yeah,
you satisfy.
Say something more concrete. You have a given endpoint particles, involving even massive states.
Yeah.
And there are Mandelstam invariants associated with that process. The kinematical process that should give exponential suppression.
Yeah.
I claim is the one where all kinematical invariants go to infinity with fixed ratio.
This I don't remember exactly. And because in this case only pick two to do deformation. And this two deformation is basically will depending on the P1 squared, Pi squared, Pj squared, plus Pi plus Pj squared. This is called the mass level N1, N2, N3. So basically, the kinematic regime basically determined by the three number. And the detail I did not remember clearly, but Rutger was here, is here. I think when he will leave. And if you are interested, probably ask Rutger to present this as a proof of the Wien's behavior here.
There are not other questions. First time speaker.
Thank you for coming.